Well, we have another day, as we all know, the daily Muppet Show update with our hand puppet, Lizard Head Joe Biden, and his very men of Jim Hansen Muppets that are supposedly running the nation. You have to marvel at the ability of this country to function without any knowledgeable leadership. And you equally have to marvel at the level of persistent evil that is so deeply rooted in our nation that has absolutely no regard for anything but themselves and a total disregard for the Constitution. We are in very interesting times, to say the least. But that brings me to what we are really focusing on, which is the Bard's Fest. Bard's Fest, August 26th to August 29th in St. Charles, Missouri. Part of that was we are gearing up for a slipper revolution. It's a symbology of supporting a company, which is Mike Lindell's MyPillow, which they've taken away $64 million in sales. Our push is to reclaim $69 million in sales, which is a million My Slippers. So we want to get over there and support him, America's Patriot. He's rock solid. He's done so much for us. You're going to use the Bards code B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, and you can use that on the website at mypillow.com. If you scroll down the page, you'll see a radio listeners box. Click on that, and you can see the deals that are there. There's many deals, lots of things you can enjoy. Or you can also call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And Mike Lindell will be speaking at Bard's Fest. It's going to be epic. So I encourage you to support this effort. We want to really rock it across the world to really raise up one company. And then at Bard's Fest, we will announce the seven that we will destroy. And we will destroy. So Patriots, one of the things that we can be almost assured of is that when you take down a cabal of this magnitude, whatever you want to call it, and wherever it comes from, this group of people is not going to let go without more than a fight, I guess I would put it that way. If you're familiar with the term scorched earth, that's essentially what these folks are about. They're either going to keep it all or they're going to destroy it all. And there's really no in between. And that's the sort of fight we're in. And most of that's going to hinge on our ability to navigate through the deceptions and to keep people from going off the ledge. Let me start with Job 1, 21 to 22. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. My name, may the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The Lord taketh, the gave, and the Lord has taken away. We enter into this world naked, we return and we leave this world naked. So we are in a period of time right now when we are noticing how our world is continuing to shrink in many ways. Everything is becoming more difficult. Going shopping, driving around, there's an increasing squeezing effect. And to a certain degree, that's intentional because those in power and those willing to comply are falling into part of the trap, which I know that this has other connotations, but for sake of tonight, be very clear what I'm going to be talking about. The Luciferians believe that they are coming into a harvest. It's not a harvest in a good way. And I'm beginning to, more than I look at this, I'm beginning to wonder if they don't have something going here that like that. The harvest. We're seeing a lot of these people being harvested, but it's happening right before our very eyes. And I know this is hard for some, and I understand, and I really want to be clear that I'm not going to give a lot of empathy, and I know a lot of people are dealing with, you know, the guilt, and I'm the only one left, and I've done everything I can. But the fact of the matter is that we are in a place right now when the world is realigning. And it's a pretty simple realignment. You're on the side of God or you're on the side of them. And even though there is a deception and they're being pulled away, the fact of the matter is that they are nonetheless making a decision. A decision about where they're going to reside in their life and who they're going to align with. And they're doing it through the process of the injection. There's not much we can do about that. So I know that many have tried very hard to convince friends and family, and I understand that that's a very difficult thing when you're watching these people willfully walk away from you. It's just bigger than you. And there's a point that you have to let that go because it's not a place that you can control. You've done your job. You've tried to inform them, but you can't fall into their trap. One of the things about that line of faith is we have to hold that line of faith. We have to be strong. We have to love our neighbors. We have to give voice to the innocent and protection of the innocent, and we have to help those in need. But we can't tip over that edge. And the greatest force that we have within us is that celebration of joy that God has given us. Because that is the, I'll use the term loosely, spiritual frequency to defeat the darkness. So there is something brewing here, and we're witnessing it happening right before our very eyes. And if you aren't seeing it, or you don't want to see it, or you say it doesn't fit within Scripture, then I'm sorry. There's a reality that's unfolding right before us that we can see it happening, and it's not good. And where this is going, and we can see it, is that people that are taking the injection they're changing. And I can't explain it any more than that. And though it's being tracked, I'm not the only one. It's Dr. Tenpenny and I are talking. I've talked to Dr. Carrie Madej. I've talked to Dr. Lee Merritt. I've talked to people that I know, and everybody is seeing something change. So let me give you what might be a little clue. And I got this from, and we're going to have her back on the show here coming up, but I got this from Dr. Lee Merritt tonight. It's a very interesting little piece. Charles M. Lieber, who was an American chemist and pioneer in nanoscience and nanotechnology. He was the professor that was arrested and charged with selling secrets to China. What we weren't paying attention to is what exactly he actually sold. What he gave away was some very high-tech brain electric interference devices and technologies. And so they're giving him a slap on the wrist, which tells you this is very big, and there are some very high-level people that are involved in this, and we're witnessing, in my opinion, a lot of what's going on. This fight is a fight for humanity, literally. And where this ends up going is going to depend on how strong we are ourselves and how much we realize where our true alliance and love rests. This is very critical. All of us have to live in some form of a material world. The material world is there to numb you, dull your senses, make you obsessed with things, worship things. We are not physical beings first. We are spiritual beings first. And there's some rather profound insights into that. I'm going to read Luke 15, 11 to 31. This is a long passage, but I want you to follow along because this is a very critical part of tonight's story. The parable of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, and he has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours.'" In this period in time in which we live and we reside, we are witnessing the stripping down of all things that we value, or what we valued. And yet we're seeing those that are seeking to reclaim those things. Notice how the choices now of getting the injection are based on the sorts of things that people did. It has nothing to do with the pandemic. I would like to travel again. I would like to go on that cruise. I'm planning a trip next spring. I want to get the injection so I don't have to be impeded. I want to go back to my favorite restaurant. I want things to go back to normal. They haven't learned anything. Instead, they're continuing to pillage their wealth and pillage their givings that God gave them, and forgetting where all wealth comes from in this world. It doesn't come from their hand, and it doesn't come from a state. It comes from God. And yet, they're returning back to the old way. This world that we are witnessing before us is shedding itself, stripping away all of the things that we worshiped, all of the things that were holding us back, to where it's watering us down to a simple question. And if we are honest with ourselves and we face it, it's a question that each one of us has to answer. For some, we already have. For many, they are still living in an illusion. But what is that one question? To whom do you give your loyalty? To whom do you give your loyalty? When we sit here with Christ in our heart, that decision's been made. But we've seen those that put Christ in their heart, or said they did, and gave their loyalty to a state. Now, I think if we take from the parable of the prodigal son, we can see that God will reclaim them if they come back to him and humble themselves, accept totally what they did, and God will reclaim him and her. And the challenge we have to have is to celebrate that, not because we've been dutiful here, but to realize that our dutifulness has given more strength to them as they return, because it's all of us coming together, not us judging them as they return. They have removed themselves from God at this point in time, all of them that have taken the shot. And this nanotech that's in them is changing them. That's the anomalies that we're noticing. It's attitude, it's attitudes, it's behaviors. I checked with a friend yesterday who worked with some folks at DARPA and was very familiar with the hydrogel. I also talked, the same person did some work at Fort Detrick, where Fauci was. And this is what they've told me, and confirmed for me, I should say. The nanohydrogel falls within the emotional parts of the brain. It settles into the nervous system, and it settles into the neuron sections of the brain that affect emotions and behavior. It's the way it's designed. Part of that design was because in looking at soldiers when they were in combat, they would be able to control those emotions and keep them focused on task. Applied to a human model, you now can control things like empathy, sorrow, desire. And you can strip away a lot of your humanity. You can turn people into desiring of wanting things rather than seeking to let go of things. And so as I've used this metaphor before, which I think is very important to readdress and revisit, which is the idea of walking together on a river. We began, all of us together, at the headwaters of the river, and we began to walk down. And as we began to walk down, some decided to jump to the other side. Early on, that didn't matter much because the distance of when you have the early waters of the river, it's just a trickle of a stream or a creek. It's easy to jump back and forth. But the farther you go down that walk, the farther and wider the river gets, the more treacherous the water becomes. And the closer you go down towards its headwaters or towards its outlet, it's where it goes, say, to the ocean, if it dips into the ocean, the more dangerous the cross eddies and waves become. We're there now. So in order for them to return that have taken the shot, it's a profound action. And the longer that they wait, the longer that they endure this, the more that this stuff inside of them, in my belief, grows. I have good reason to believe this is not just dormant within the body. Knowing enough about hydrogel and knowing enough about what this process is, this is growing within people, and it's slowly transforming people. Our role has to constantly be the vigilance of showing the light, to extend a hand, to do the best we can to help them come across, to encourage them to come across. But just like a lifeguard, if you swim out to reach somebody, if you try to reach them and they are flailing, you yourself may drown. That's where they have to come to that place of accepting God in their life, Christ in their heart. And when they do, then they become released and can come over. But I think that we can assuredly say that the only thing that will truly heal in this whole process, the only thing that will keep us strong in this whole process, is our true relationship with Christ. So as we look back at the parable of the prodigal son, let us also reflect on the older son. Let us not become angry. Let us not become jealous because a younger son has returned and there's a celebration when they come back. Instead, let us be steadfast. Let us be the watchers on the wall. Let us acknowledge that return and celebrate it, but let us not tarry. The one that returns needs some of that coddling to return and to feel comfortable again, but our role is vigilance. We are on the wall. We have to continue to look outward from the wall. We have to continue to call out what we see before us. As we live within this spiritual domain, this war becomes more understandable. We're existing in these multiple realms right now. And I another thing I think that we can be honest about. There is so much insanity. It's like every single day something changes. It's almost like we are living in a fold of time that constantly is doing this and that, or as if we're living in a dream. So let me propose something to you. If we are starting to awaken truly and starting to realize the true power and the gift that God gave us, part of our inheritance, which is ultimately based on this quantum soul, the ability to move a mountain from here to there, an ability to choose the realities in which we choose to live. Why do you think fear is so important? Because the more that you can get people to accept fear, you prevent them from touching into that power of awakening, that power of choosing the destiny, of choosing the world you want to live in. Why is music so important? Why is frequency so important? Why is celebrating God through Him so important? Because it's about elevating up the joy and transforming before us the darkness to the light. So in this world that we're in, as we awaken, and the realities seem to shift for every one of us every day in some bizarre fashion, have we begun to touch and tap into that gift that God gave us, but we do not yet know how to harness it? Are we manifesting our angers, our fears, our frustrations before us and causing this distortion before our very eyes? Oh, it's possible. Quantum physics shows it. Because we're choosing realities that we don't need. One of the strongest things that we have to do in our life is hold to that line of faith. Hold to that line of faith. What does that line give us? It's the true clarity of the path that we walk. We don't get deviated. That armor that we talk about in Ephesians 6:10-18. That armor is so strong, it's so important because it prevents those fears and those anxieties and those angers and all those forces that are trying to deviate you from penetrating into your thoughts. It is the focus. When we talk about being in prayer, almost like a vigilant state of all time and every time, it has to be like this. You need to be bringing God into your life at all times. Christ, walking with Him, inviting Him in, sitting with Him, talking with Him. It is a process. And as we do that process, we are strengthening our own armor. We are strengthening our ability to walk into this world, to keep ourselves from being trapped or pulled aside. These pits are getting deeper. These ravines around us are being almost like hewn clefts that we fall into. And what's in there? It's the despair. It's the feeling that you have no hope. They are manipulating a reality around you, constantly turning it and churning it to make you feel as though you have no hope. Right now, if you listen to them, according to what they're saying, 70% of the world is soon to be injected and the rest of them will be terminated. That's it. The rest will be harvested. Interesting. And yet we're not there. Yet they're panicking. Yet they keep pushing for this thing. They're trying to sell it with gimmicks. You can get into the lottery if you take it. You can get a free donut. You can get free beer. Why would you be doing those things? Because your quotas aren't being met. We still have free will in all of this. And our free will is something that's our strongest place. And that's the place we have to continue to walk. It's an anchoring place where the place and role within Christ in our lives has never been more important. The science is real. There's so much stuff out here right now. The nanotech, there's this sort of nano mesh that goes on the brain that we were talking about this morning, or I should say Dr. Tenpenny and I were talking about earlier today. There is constantly things that we're discovering. What they've done with the spike protein, what they're doing to other injections in your body, what the plans are going down the road. You just have to hold that line. And you have to remember our role of what we are given by God to steward it well. And those that have been reckless with it, we need to encourage them to come back. But like the prodigal son, they must come back to God and they must repent. And they must be truthful in what they say. As is said, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Speaking to God, as they must. Our anchor in this whole point is going to be that steadfast line as we move and we do not deviate. I've said many times here, and I will continue to say many times, I do not put myself in any time, do not give myself any time mapping out things like where we are in Revelation or if we're in Revelation point, whatever. It's a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. I know that offends some people, and I'm going to explain why. We have one principal role right now, and that is to keep our heart bold with Christ and to walk every step clearly. And it's important that we understand that. Where we are right now is very much like Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I have severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. In the beginning of that psalm, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet. I want you to go back in time and imagine this. Today, we talk about a lamp. We think of something like an illumination, huge, like a flashlight, so we can see the whole way. But that's not the way it was. If you've ever walked in the pitch of dark, where there's no street lights, there's no electric lights, there's only the darkness and a small candle, the lamp to my feet. We cannot see beyond our feet. That's truth. And because we cannot see beyond our feet, it is up to us to hold that path and to pay attention to what every step is before us. When we start to look beyond the horizon and we're relying on that lamp to our feet, we are taking the risk of stumbling and falling. And right now, if you stumble and fall, it can be a treacherous fall. The traps are everywhere. We walk by faith, not by sight, but to walk with that candle. The word is a lamp to my feet. To walk with that candle means that we are walking with those words and we are truly walking with each and every breath, focused on every step before us, accountable to every step, every breath we make, we are accountable. And when we do all of that, completely accountable to Christ, to God, through Christ to the Father, we're going to do just fine. We can eject the news. We can eject a lot of this around us because we don't need it. We think we do. Those are the traps. We don't need it. What we need is to walk that pure path with Christ in our heart and to continue walking clearly. And we'll be fine. But when we start to deviate off these paths and we start to go down these rabbit holes, and we start to become obsessed by them, and we start to lose perspective, we start to enter into some very dangerous realms. All of this world that we are in right now is in an upheaval. What I know is when things like that happen, like in an ambush, you don't start trying to run all over the place to get a big picture. You focus on the lines before you. You pay attention to the person on your left and your right. You pay attention to where the fire is coming from. You be prepared to shift fire as that ambush changes, because it will. You reposition yourself to get to the high ground. You put down suppressive counterfire. You move, you shoot, you communicate. You break the enemy's ambush because you go through it. And you ruthlessly take back the position that they try to take from you. Right now, our focus has to be those steps before us, each and every step. And I will tell you, the clarity within the moment of those ambushes, I've said this in the film, I say this now, the ambush changes you. When you have been in a true ambush like that, your world moves now differently. You're able to see the smallest grain of things before you and the importance of it more than that. The things that we normally take so much for granted. So let us not lose perspective of where we are. This is a big fight. This is huge. This is so much bigger than we can possibly imagine. And the more that we look into it and the more that we see how much is involved, how far this goes, how high this goes, how deep this goes, it can almost suck the life right out of your breath. But all of that comes back and settles in a very clear and simple step. It's the role of the watcher on the wall. It's the role of the older son that has stayed steadfast in tending to his wealth and to the father and to the farm. It's the role of walking with one foot before the other, carefully, a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Let us walk carefully. Let us walk focused. Let us walk accountable. Let us walk true to the love and word of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We're blessed for these times that we come together to reflect deeply on the words you've given us to guide us through very difficult and dark times. Lord, let your word be a lamp to our feet as we walk carefully, as we pay attention to what's before us, not to get distracted and run this way or that, to stay true to all that you put before us, to continue that path constantly as we step into love thy neighbor as we would want to be loved, help those in need, and to continue to give voice and protection to the innocent. Above all, Lord, let us always be reminded that in these steps, each and every step is fearless. Each and every breath is fearless. And it's through our faith and trust in you that we know that each and every step will always be fine. Let us never waver. Let us never doubt. Let us strip ourselves of all fear, knowing that we've already won this. What we are doing now is occupying the land, expanding your kingdom, and continuing forward on this walk. Let us be reminded by the words in Luke 15:31. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." Humbly we thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your grace. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Head up, eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. But we do so with intent. We do so focused. Keep yourself breathing and in alignment with all things God. It is our greatest armor. It is our greatest way through this. It is truly everything that we need to successfully arrive at whatever destiny we have. These are difficult walks. They are difficult when you're watching friends and family making poor decisions, which you know in your heart are poor decisions. But by you being steadfast, by you being there, let us always remember that conversation with Balaam's donkey. The donkey was the most true in all of that fight, in spite of the fact that Balaam beat the donkey 3 times. And in the end, the donkey reminded Balaam of something very simple. Have I ever been untruthful to you? And Balaam had to admit one thing. No. The simple truths, the simple places, the constancy of where we are, the persistence of our walk, the conviction of what we stand for, the intentional act of which we do in living with God in every day and every breath, those are forces of change. So keep your prayers focused. Don't be distracted by the noise and the fear wrangling and all those that are celebrating this jab. This jab is a trap. And yes, it's sad to see. But God's got this. And we're part of that. So we have to trust in God fully. We accept the challenges that are before us and have to know that when we have done all that we know that we can do, that's all that God would ask of us to do because the rest is His to steer. But don't get distracted. God is always with us. He will never leave us. Don't get distracted. Stay focused on the path ahead because in the end, God always wins. So have a very blessed night. I'll be back this evening at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable. That mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable. And we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.